Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and we're continuing on with a message I began this week, The Glory Restored. And we may have to go over to next week, but let's pick up where we left off. And that was, we were talking about experiencing the presence of God. How can we do that today in our lives? We may not have a burning bush. We may not have the cloud of His presence come down, but God does promise in the Word of God how we can experience His presence. There are three things that I'd like to share with you. One is what Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, where Christians gather together, where we congregate. Jesus said, where two or three, you don't have to have a large number, there am I in the midst of them. When the purpose is gathering together to worship, to seek God, to bless God, then He has promised His presence would come. Secondly, Isaiah gives a passage found in the 57th chapter, verse 15. His presence comes when there is true humility and repentance. And we're speaking not only just of a congregation, but of our own personal walk with God. This is what the passage says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." That we can certainly understand and agree with. But he says, it continues on, "with him also, not just in the high and holy place, was surrounded by the angels of God and, you know, in the third heaven. No, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." And why does he want to do that? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God. "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit," to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And then thirdly, again, we go to Scripture to find how God said He was going to manifest Himself to us. Well, Psalm 22 and 3, there are many other choices, but through praise and worship, there it simply and clearly says, "But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel." He actually inhabits. He loves to come. When people are worshiping in spirit and in truth, the presence of God comes to inhabit the praises of His people. Praise God. Well, beloved, we've been talking about the glory of the Lord, the glory restored, that God wants to bring His glory to a people who are hungering after Him. And what would cause the presence, the anointing, to depart? Well, just like ancient Israel, when they sinned and they turned against the Lord and they worshiped other gods, there were idols in their lives. We may not bow down to a physical idol today, but there could be all manner of things, things of the world, having things that distract us, that we're not really seeking God. Oh, we might go to church, you know, on Sundays, but our hearts are elsewhere. We're really not seeking after the Lord. And so we want to experience his presence because we're changed. Why? That scripture I just shared, Isaiah 57:15, he wants to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones, to bring new life, not just new life, but abundant life. That's why Jesus came. Because, beloved, we are in, I don't have to tell you, if you walk with God any length of time, we are in spiritual warfare, and we need the presence and the leading and the guidance and the wisdom of God as never before. Ezekiel 3:12 says, "Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, 'Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place.'" We're talking about the glory restored. How do we go about that? It's not done with the programs of man, but we need to see God himself, his power, and his anointing. It's not through the activities of man, good though that they may be. They may be needs, but they are only subservient. They are only, they're not independent of God's presence. We have to do everything with the desire to please God in our personal lives as well as with our church protocol. What do we really allow the Holy Spirit to move in our churches, or are we following a format? And unfortunately, because it's comfortable, it's easier for man. We like things predictable, because when the Holy Spirit's really moving, you never know what is going to happen. The Lord can just totally change. I remember years ago when we had service at the Hilton, you know, I come with a message prepared, ready to preach, and that wasn't what God wanted. So just lay it aside and bring it another time, what he wants. So how can we go about seeing the glory restored? Well, first of all, there has to be a passionate personal hunger and an intense seeking the Lord. And we can do this through wholehearted praise and worship. He's not asking for the musical excellence. He's not asking for a well-trained voice. He's asking for a heart that is willing to worship, a spirit that's willing to bow down. It doesn't matter the quality of your voice. He loves it. We're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Okay, that scripture alone should make us comfortable. We don't have to be vocalists, that's for sure. But repentance also is important. Remember what God said, the Spirit of the Lord, when he spoke to the church at Laodicea? They did a lot of things right. But in Revelation 3:15-16, he said, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You've lost your first love." We can get so caught up in, you know, the externals of, quote, serving God, attending church, getting involved in programs, doing a lot of good service-oriented things, that we're losing sight of our first love. It should, all of that will naturally flow out. If we really have a right relationship with God and love him, acts of service will just naturally come forth as we wait for his leading, his guidance. It doesn't mean we have to be in a frenzied activity to show how dedicated, how great we're serving God. He wants only us to do that only which he speaks to our heart. And there's times he might have you really quiet and not involved because he's doing something in your life. The whole bottom line is we have to be sensitive to what God is speaking in our lives. Are we submissive to godly authority? Of course. That doesn't do away with that. But God wants us, first of all, obedient and responsive to him. And in all true, genuine praise and worship, to worship in spirit and truth, remember when Jesus met the woman at the well, that's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother message. The Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth with a genuine passion. In spirit, that's, as I said, another message. But that's who the Father's seeking, those who will do that, to will not just go through a practice, a formality, but with their whole heart, they will worship God. Praise God. And remember David, he was a man after God's own heart, and he was a worshiper. So many of the beautiful Psalms we have were written by him. And he was moved upon by God. He wanted the presence of God. He wanted, really, the Lord to have a temple. God didn't let him build a temple, but the very presence of God was And the glory of God resided in the Ark of the Covenant. And he prepared a tent for it in the city of Jerusalem. David was 7 years at Hebron and then 33 years at Jerusalem after the Jebusites were conquered and finally driven out. And so what happened when he began his reign, and it took a while, we won't go into all that long story, it's recorded in detail in the Word of God, but David had a heart to have God's presence with him. And so he brought the Ark of God into the city of David with gladness. And there's a passage in 2 Samuel 6 and 12. And let me read just a few chapters of or verses of that. And it was told King David, saying, because the first episode wasn't so good, Uriah touched the Ark of the Covenant and he was struck dead. And it was told David that the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, where God in he had showed his power, and David was afraid, so he just put it in the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God, God had blessed them. So David went, and he brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. This time he consulted the record of how the Ark should be treated. And it was so that when they bare the Ark of the Lord, they'd gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod, and David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet, and they were rejoicing before the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, my time is gone, and we are going to continue looking more closely at what were the dynamics? What was David doing? And we're going to learn more about the presence of God. So I invite you to tune in next week as we continue this message. But as in the few final moments that remain, I invite you to write and share your prayer burdens. This is a ministry of prayer and correspondence, and answering letters and waiting on God in prayer and what God would have me send is one of the joys and the sacred privileges and responsibilities of my life, this ministry. We've been dedicated for decades. So I invite you to write if you have a need, the Lord's moving on you. Obey him because he has a purpose in doing that. I love you. I thank you for your prayer support. I pray for you every day, my UCM partners, my radio family. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.